I'm Joanna Shanks.
I'm Emma Taylor.
And this is Murder, She Spoke. Okay, what is your chat this week, Emma? Do you have some true crime chat for me and our listeners?
I do. I don't know if you have heard of a case that's been, there's just been a new documentary out about it, but there was another TV show out about it last year. It's about the Bamber family. So what it was, I think it's 1985. I might have gotten that wrong. It's in England, in like a nice part of the country. Sorry, my memory's awful, but it's in like a secluded English farmhouse, and yeah, so there's a full family murdered, yeah.
and the dogs.
I think the dogs.
Was it animals or something?
I don't know. It was children is the issue that yeah. That I was more upset about. So there was the dad and the mum who were in their, I want to say, 50s, 60s. And then there was their adopted daughter and her twin sons. Mm-hmm. And the only like surviving member was the adopted son. So he's like a fully grown adult. So was the adopted daughter. And then she had two sons. But she had been diagnosed with schizophrenia, I believe. Mm-hmm. And basically the adopted son called the police and said that his dad had called him, said that the sister had gone mad with a shotgun and murdered them.
Yes, yes, I do know this case.
Very long story short, the adopted son was due to inherit everything and eventually was convicted of all their murders. And it's really interesting. It's really, really interesting. He's a very interesting person, and he's obviously very manipulative, and there's lots of twists and turns and like people kind of dobbing him in, I guess. Mm-hmm. And just there was bits of evidence that came up that kind of sealed the deal. I'm not mm-hmm. going to spoil it. So there's a couple of different things on TV about it, and honestly some people don't fully believe that he was guilty of it. They do believe that Sheila Bamber murdered her parents and then her two children. Mm-hmm. I don't think there were animals, thankfully.
I'm thinking of a different case.
Okay.
Of the, okay. the man who committed like familicide. It was a different case in England.
Oh, okay.
But I do know the one you're talking about. I want to say, did this adopted son, did he not like live on a property? Did he not live in like a...
He wasn't that far away from them.
Yeah, it was like just a short drive from the main house or something, wasn't it?
Yeah. And it was weird. It was weird the way that he went about it. And they managed to prove that he could have let himself out of the home in a certain way. There was like a window that he could have got out of. Mm-hmm. But I think the key bit of evidence was that there was a silencer found from the gun, but it was separate from the gun. And there was no way that she could have taken it off the gun. Mm-hmm. And they mm-hmm. claimed that, I think it was her blood was inside it, so someone else would have to shoot her with it and then take it off. Mm-hmm. However, in the latest documentary, it's insinuated that because of the time when it was done, they couldn't actually have proven it wasn't, or it was her blood. It was maybe the same blood type, so it could have really been anyone's blood with that mm-hmm. type. And obviously they're a family, it's a family gun, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the main bits of evidence that it hinged on. But I do really recommend watching it just purely because it's interesting to think about whether he did do it or not. It's really sad, obviously, and it does involve, you know, mental health issues. So wee bit of a content warning. I think I've kind of given you a good guide anyway. But the first one that we watched was a TV show called White House Farm. Mm-hmm. That was last year. I've just looked it up. And I think
was that a dramatization?
Yes. Yeah.
And was that it not...
The Murders at White House Farm. Yeah, that was a dramatization. I think that was Netflix.
I want to say, was it not the... I've forgotten his name, the little scouse guy? Played the lead detective or something?
I think you're right. I think you are right.
From Line of Duty.
I can never remember his name. Yeah, I think you could be right. So that's the one that's dramatisation that's quite good. And then the most recent one, Louis Theroux, obviously a famous documentary maker, has done a 4-part series, but it is a documentary, and he kind of has done some interviews with various people connected to the case. And so he's the producer of it. And that was on Sky. So mm-hmm. You should be able to get that on Sky, but I'm very sure you can just kind of Google it and find it under the table somewhere as well. So that's another kind of updated one. I just find it a really fascinating case. There's something about it that it does feel like there's something missing, mm-hmm. but then I don't trust him either. You know that way? You're kind of like...
Yeah. So remind me what the documentary was called?
The documentary is The Bambers Murder at the Farm.
Okay. And that's on Sky.
And it's a 4-parter. No, just on Sky. Well, it's Sky TV. I don't know.
Okay.
We Sky just TV. Had it recorded.
Okay.
So yeah. How about you? Have you got any recommendations for us?
I don't really actually. Podcast wise, I am not really listening to anything new in the true crime genre. And I haven't actually been catching up much either. I've not been very good lately. I'm kind of going off on a little bit of
another hiatus.
Yes. Yeah. So I have been listening to Lore, which mm-hmm, we talked about before. I had completely forgotten about that podcast. That was one of the first ones I started listening to, and I do enjoy it, which is obviously all just about different types of lore and historic stories and things, which is interesting. Another one I've actually been listening to, which is more of it's definitely a feel-good podcast, because I'm just kind of into this type of thing right now, is a podcast which I think you'll like as well, Emma. It's called Comfort Eating with Grace Dent.
Oh, cute.
So it's basically about like a journalist, and she interviews celebrities and finds out what their sort of like secret favorite snack is, like the thing that make at home and stuff. But she chats to them about, you know, their life and their work and things, and she has to try their
favorite food or whatever.
Favorite homemade snack thing. Yeah. So it's really cute actually. Yeah. And it's quite feel good, and I like it. So I would recommend that.
I fell down a little rabbit hole on TikTok recently of watching, mm-hmm. Like foreigners trying snacks from different countries, but they're all like biscuits and sweeties and crisps and stuff. Like they're all fun stuff like that. And I only fell down it because I'm Scottish. It was obviously suggested to me, like this guy in America was sent a bunch of stuff from Tunnocks. Mm-hmm. And he was losing his mind over like Tunnocks tea cakes. And I was like, yes, I like you. You have good taste. So it was really funny. I'm just always curious. Like, you know, we've got some biscuits that I think are top notch. And, you know, it's just really funny watching people try them. And you realize how basic some of ours are though, like compared to other people's. You know, they tried like ones from America and it's like triple snickerdoodle baked banana,
marshmallow fluff.
Loaf, marshmallow cookie bread. And you're like, what is this? And then people will send him stuff and it's like chocolate biscuit. Yeah, and he's like, and I think his favourite one, and all the like British people in the comments were going bananas, was like the extra chocolatey biscuits from Marks and Spencer's. Mm-hmm. I've not actually had them, but now I need to go and get them. They're like in a round like shape, and they've just mm-hmm. got apparently extra chocolate on them, and it looks like a kind of shortbready inside, and they look amazing. Apparently the white chocolate ones are phenomenal. People were in the comments saying that they would sell their firstborn child for a packet of them. So I know what I'm gonna buy the next time I pass the Marks and Spencer's. So yeah, there you go, just a little another silly thing on TikTok if anyone hasn't got enough things to waste their time with already.
I think I've seen them occasionally on Lad Bible on like Instagram and stuff, but I do feel that we have a really strong biscuit market in the UK. I feel like our biscuit game is really, really strong, and I'm always disappointed when I go to other countries and I'm like, let's check out their biscuits, and they're all awful, or they're all a variation of the same thing. Like I feel like Italian biscuits are very much like a hazelnut wafer or some kind of variation of that, you know, but I guess it depends on what they're what they have. I mean, we have terrible cuisine. We don't have that, but we have good biscuits.
We have to make up, and crisps. Our crisps are good.
Yeah.
But what I would say is I am desperate. I've always had a thing about it. I want to try Girl Scout cookies. I've always had, like, I think because I saw them on TV when I was younger and everyone goes mad for them. And I just think they look amazing. And I know they're just going to be like a normal biscuit, but they have like a kind of.
But why is everybody crazy for them?
Yeah.
There must be a reason.
Yeah, they've intrigued me now. I feel like I need to get them. They don't sell them over here. I had a look online. It was like £12 for a box of like 150 grams. And call me cheapskate, I'm not paying that. Maybe one day if I ever make it back to America, or maybe one day we'll make it super famous and we'll have like a rich American patron send us loads of biscuits. I'll just put that out there for posterity in the future. But yeah, so that's my... That's my life goal. I'm aiming high, as you can tell.
I like it.
Aim for the stars? Or...
yeah. I think that's what
anyway, I'm going to stop talking about biscuits. What is your case for us this week?
Okay, so my case this week... Unfortunately, it's going to be probably quite a short one, but that doesn't mean that it's any less important to cover. You know, as we've said before, we like to cover all different types of cases, and especially ones that we can bring some attention to, you know, bring them into the spotlight again. So that is one, that's basically one of the cases that I've chosen this week. So it's case of Robert Addaway. Does it ring any bells with you at all?
Not offhand.
Okay. I didn't expect it to, because it's, I'm afraid it's a bit of an older one. Okay. Not very old, but before us. So it's unlikely that we would have heard of it. So, Robert Addaway, he was reported missing from Thurso in Caithness on Wednesday, the 9th of June, 1982. He was the son of parents Donald and Josephine and was the youngest of three boys. His oldest brother, John, was 22, his brother, Simon, was 20, and Robert himself was 18. The day that Robert went missing was actually his 18th birthday.
That's sad.
It is sad. So Robert had recently left Thurso High School, and he was due to study, having been accepted into Glasgow University. He was described as solitary, but he had several close friends, and he was keen on music and sports. He was often seen walking in the Thurso area with the family dog. Now, Robert's mother, Josephine, saw him at their home in Princes Street early in the morning on Wednesday, the 9th of June, 1982, so the day that he went missing. So obviously it was his birthday, he'd woken up, and his mum had seen him before she went off to work at Dunray Power Station. So for his birthday, this is slightly heartbreaking, she gave him his first shaving kit, which he was apparently delighted with. So she went off to work, as I say, at the Dunray Power Station, where his dad and his brother Simon also worked. Now, the family had plans to have dinner at a nearby hotel later that night, and Robert was apparently looking forward to it, but unfortunately he never appeared. Robert left home sometime between 8 a.m. and noon, and he was apparently seen several times in Thurso by friends and relatives. There were further possible sightings over the next few days at various places across the Caithness area, many near roads, which could mean that he was hitchhiking. Robert was asthmatic, but he'd actually left home without taking his inhaler with him. Now, obviously, as I said, Robert lived in Thurso in Caithness. Now, for people who are not from Scotland, Thurso is actually in almost the most northern point on a map of Scotland. It's just, you know, apart from you've got the Orkney Islands above it, but the mainland, it is almost, you know, the top of Scotland is John O'Groats. That's the last point of Scotland, I think, isn't it, Emma?
Yeah, that's right.
And Thurso is basically, it's not too far from John O'Groats. So we're talking about the very, very top of Scotland, basically on the water. So that would be the, I think it's the North Sea that, that is onto. So,
I mean, to put it politely, it is in the middle of nowhere, really. It's very rural. There's hardly anything about there.
I mean, as well, to put in perspective, like when you look at it on a map, a little bit down from Thurzo, it's a lot of like mountainous area. You know, you've got like a small corner of Scotland where this Thurzo, Wick and sort of John O'Groats that looks like it's more relatively flat, but everything else coming down to the like left hand side and down sort of west southwest, it's all very very hilly, it's very
beautiful.
Mountainous.
It's such a beautiful part of the world, but it is very
isolated.
Isolated.
Yeah. So that's the kind of place we're talking about. So, you know, not like a busy city, not like a busy, you know, somewhere like in the central belt of Scotland where someone could just sort of disappear into thin air. So would probably be very, very hard to do. So Northern Constabulary, who were the police force at the time, they're now part of the Police Scotland, which is all forces combined. It's now under one Police Scotland banner. By the time it was Northern Constabulary, they searched in and around the Thurzo area, including the coastline and quarries. A photo of Robert was shown around local shops and houses. Road, rail and sea routes in Caithness were also checked, but Robert was not found. Police spoke with bus drivers, ferry captains and train drivers, but this was also a dead end. Chief Superintendent Bill Mackay of Thurzo Police appealed to the public for help in tracing Robert in June 1982 and confirmed that all efforts had as yet yielded no results. They also confirmed that no sightings could be positively confirmed. Robert was described in 1982 as being 5'11" in height, with blue eyes, medium length, dark brown, curly hair. He was of a slim build, and he was wearing a dark brown Shetland jumper and brown corduroy trousers. He had on red socks, brown shoes, and possibly a blue parka jacket with a hood. Some of the possible sightings also mentioned a rucksack or a similar bag. Robert has never been located. Robert's brother Simon, who now lives in Canada, believes that Robert either committed suicide that day or was murdered in Caithness, and the police suspected some foul play had occurred that morning. Simon had seen Robert the night before but didn't believe that he was hiding anything. He described Robert as being the type of person who won academic prizes but wasn't very practical, which I assume means that he wasn't particularly street smart. Robert's dad died at the end of 2016, and his brothers raised a civil action to have him declared dead, which was granted after he had been missing for 36 years. Police were apparently left baffled about what happened to Robert, but his brother believes a significant amount of effort was put into the police investigation. A reenactment was carried out, and traffic was stopped so police could speak to drivers around the same time Robert was said to have disappeared. Simon said, "Nobody felt it was within his capabilities to disappear maliciously or secretly." Simon Addaway has not received an update from police in around 30 years and has no hope he will ever find out what happened to his brother. He said he has accepted he will never have an answer. Police Scotland have Robert's details on their website and they urge anyone with information on his case to get in touch. Inspector Gavin Smith of the Police Scotland Missing Person Unit said, "Robert Addaway was a young man when he went missing from Thurzo. Although that was over 30 years ago, the investigation will stay open until we resolve it, no matter how long that takes. We recently consulted with the National Crime Agency UK Missing Persons Unit and will continue to work with local officers in Caithness to follow up any potential lines of inquiry which could help find Robert, including new methods which are only available to us now. I'd ask anyone with information about what happened to Robert in 1982 or any time since then to contact Police Scotland via 101. The Missing People Charity can be contacted free phone on 116000 or by visiting the Missing People website. If you have any information, you can also contact the charity Crime Stoppers anonymously on 0800 555 111. So that is the case of Robert Addaway. It's so bizarre.
Yeah, that's so frustrating. A couple of things spring to mind in that in those kind of places, everyone knows everyone.
Yes.
So I would be inclined as the police to think that if someone said they saw him, they probably did see him.
Yeah. I mean, I assume that when they say that none of the sightings can be positively confirmed, I just assume that to mean something like we couldn't verify
there's
it by
no
CCTV.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But it's literally just an eyewitness. But if it's a friend or a relative, you would expect that to be pretty accurate.
Yeah. The other thing
eyewitness account
that I is unfortunate about both our landscape and various other landscapes around the world is that it, like in the case of San Pili, there are areas in Scotland where you could be put and no one will find you for a very, very, very long time. Even in the places that people go hiking and walking and climbing the mountains and things like that, you'll know yourself, some of the areas of woods are so thick, or the, you know, the ravines, or there's there, you know, the trails will go up really steeply and then there's massive drops. And no one goes down there. It honestly wouldn't be difficult to dispose of someone. I'm not advocating anyone does this for the, this is not a recommendation. Do you know what I mean? So especially in somewhere like that, and they maybe did, you know, they obviously did throw what they had at it at the time, but like they're saying, there's more that could possibly be done now. It's really sad that his brother has to question whether he took his own life. It's horrible.
Absolutely. And I mean, yeah, I mean, we've said it before, haven't we? Like, you never know what someone's going through. Like, you never know what's going on in someone's mind. But it seems unlikely from, you know, what's there that would be the case. But also, I feel that would probably have surfaced by now if he had.
Yes.
You know, unless he sort of travelled, like you say, somewhere, like, you know, far away and very remote where, yeah, he just sort of never would be found.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, the fact is a lot of people that do take their own lives do want to be found so that people are aware of what's happened.
Yeah. And I mean, as well, I would imagine, like most places, there are, unfortunately, sort of suicide spots.
Yeah.
And I always imagine that if somebody sort of has died accidentally, like normally it will come to light eventually. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's, you know, somebody's, you know, jumped into water or something, the body will be washed up somewhere at some point, you know, it will come ashore, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just crazy. It's just a huge question mark. And obviously it's still an open police investigation, I guess. So it's probably why there's not a huge amount of detail in terms of any like forensic evidence that was collected from his home or anything that he was missing. You know, the sort of the only detail that they really gave was the fact that he hadn't taken his inhaler with him. And he was asthmatic, which
forgotten my inhaler loads of times.
Mm-hmm.
I've definitely forgotten my inhaler, especially if I didn't think I was going to be out for long or if I was in a rush leaving the house. That's why I've got them peppered in every place I can think of. I've got them in the car. I've got them in every handbag because when I was younger, I used to forget them all the time, especially as an 18-year-old. So that's not definitive, I wouldn't say. And what I would say is the fact that the police are keeping it as an open investigation and, did the reconstruction and things like that. Quite honestly, if they had had reports that he was very depressed or suicidal, I'm not convinced they would still be considering foul play as an issue or a possible concern. Mm-hmm. It sounds really suspicious. It sounds like he's got in the wrong car with someone or something like that. I mean, it's his 18th birthday. He was going later on. He just received his gifts. It just seems really odd.
Mm-hmm.
That would be his actions on that day.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, he recently left school. He was due to, you know, he'd been accepted to Glasgow University, so like a big change for him, sort of university life and things like that. So yeah, it's an odd one. And I also do think that it's the kind of place where probably even now, I want to say, for my sins, given the fact that we do a true crime podcast, but I feel like it's the kind of place that you might just accept a lift from somebody.
Yeah.
You know, when places like that, I mean, they're so remote, it's only people that are, I think, are from Scotland and know how remote it can be and how small towny small towns can be would probably realise the kind of level of trust that you get in the community. And, you know, if you were offered a lift by somebody, you maybe would take it.
Yeah, no, I do get that. It's like it's...
Especially if it's somebody local.
Especially, yeah, if it's wee Jimmy that runs the post office or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, if it's a stranger from out of town, no way. But if it's somebody who's in the community that you know...
Mm. The other thing that I did want to raise, that there's absolutely nothing to suggest this whatsoever, but I do know that in the Highlands there is an epidemic, and especially there was at that time, of drug usage. And it was essentially, I read an in-depth article about it. It was concentrating on the Highlands in particular, but the Highlands as well. And reportedly it was boredom. Honestly, the young people didn't have a lot to do, and unfortunately there was specifically a heroin epidemic, but I know that there were other recreational drugs used. Mm-hmm. I mean, wildly speculating, you don't know if someone's, you know, taking a dislike and they're not they're an unsavory character. You don't know. It's just, I think we presume that in these places it's very twee and it's very sweet and everyone's lovely and they just raise their sheep and, you know, like, but exactly. There are darker undercurrents to these places as well. So
absolutely.
It's important to remember that.
I didn't know about in general, but I know certainly, for example, in the Isle of Lewis and Harris, I know that it's sort of like you're either into drugs or you're into church. It's either religion or drugs. Like, it's one of the two. And I mean, like, just to give some context to this, you know, Isle of Lewis, for example, when we say sort of small town, we mean kind of small town. It's very different.
Mm.
In Lewis, you know, it basically on a Sunday, you're not expected to do anything, go anywhere. Mm.
Everything shuts down.
Yeah. Everything shuts down. And I mean, if you even hang out your washing on a Sunday, you will be talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a day of rest, it's the Lord's Day. Do you know what I mean? It's very much like that. And, you know, although small places can be lovely, they can also be incredibly claustrophobic.
I wouldn't want to grow up in such a tiny, remote place where everyone knows everything. And I remember when I was younger, even, it's different now because it's become quite touristy, but we go to the Isle of Arran usually every year. And I remember speaking to some of the locals in the pub when I was about 18, saying, oh, really, I would love to have grown up here. And they basically said, we are bored out of our skulls. There is nothing to do here, literally. So they would just get in trouble, half of them, because they have nothing better to do. It was everything from, you know, starting fires to racing cars to getting out their cow faces tipping in other people's houses. I don't even think the boys were cow tipping, to be fair. I think it was straight up.
Is that a thing outside Scotland?
I don't know. Yeah, surely.
So for anyone who doesn't know, cow tipping is a thing where people literally will push over cows.
Which is mean. We don't appreciate that.
Yeah.
I say that so as that if I'm be... one of them. I'm a cow in a human suit.
Yeah, so it's totally possible
that there was something else going on that the family didn't know about. I don't, it sounds like he was quite conscientious, so maybe he wasn't personally caught up in drugs himself, but if you're going to know people, do you know what I mean? It could literally be anything in a place like that. It could be a romantic rivalry. It could be, I don't like your face. Do you know what I mean? It could be so much stuff.
Yeah, I mean, like, you're talking about, like, you know, a lot of drug use and stuff. Somebody might have seen him and thought, he's an easy target, I could rob him. And, like, assaulted him, and it was like, it went much too far, or, you know, it could be anything, couldn't it, really?
Sadly, the only way they're going to really find out is if they find remains at this point, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Or somebody comes forward and says, I know what happened.
Or, best case scenario, he ran away and started a different life somewhere, and he's doing fine.
Apparently, when I was doing the research, it said that they had a deal with the Department of Social Security that if he ever made a claim, they would be notified, and he never did.
That doesn't mean he didn't change his identity. Yeah, but still, yeah. Oh, well, fingers crossed that something happens. Someone knows something, maybe someone local.
So a very sad one. Yeah. So again, as I said, if anyone does know anything about this case, if you do have any information at all, which might be able to help police in finding out what happened to Robert, then please either contact Police Scotland via 101, or you can contact the Missing People Charity or Crime Stoppers.
Do we have a picture of him to share with the episode?
We do. We do. Good. So obviously a picture of him. I don't think there's been...
age progression.
Age progression one. But I can share the picture that they had in 1982, that obviously was around about 1982. He looks quite young for his age. But yeah, very, very sad.
Yeah, ma'am.
So yeah. So that's the case of Robert Addaway. And just from what I was saying earlier, before we go into your funny sort of true crime tidbit story, I know you're probably going to be horrified, and our listeners are probably going to be horrified about what I'm about to say. However, I'm going to tell you anyway. So we were obviously in Glasgow at the weekend. Sorry, not Glasgow, Paisley, at the weekend. And we had a really early flight on Monday morning, the flight being at 7 a.m. So we had to be at the airport for about 5 a.m. We had a hire car, went to drop off, and the hire car place was closed. So we had to quickly look up instructions on how to drop off the car and the keys, and we had to drop it off at a garage nearby. So we dropped the car off at the garage, and they were supposed to take the key off us and call us a taxi. And the guy had no idea. He was new. So anyway, left the key with him. And said, it's fine, I'll just see if I can get an Uber. No Ubers. So luckily, Sean knew the number for a local taxi company because obviously he's from Paisley. So this man standing in the petrol station at the time when I'm obviously having the conversation with the guy who's behind the counter. And we are standing at the front of the petrol station waiting for a taxi. And the guy who is in the shop has a van. He drives out and he stops and he's like, did you see you?
No, I see where this is going. No.
Did you say you're going to the airport? And we said, yeah, we are. And he said, oh, I can drop you at the BP garage if you want. We're like, where's that? And he's like, literally right opposite. It's just like, you know, rather than going into the drop-off bit. And I thought about it. You know, I was with Sean. I thought about it. And then Sean's phone rang and it was the taxi, which ended up saying that we were a no-show because I went to the wrong place. But it was a taxi saying that he was on his way and would be with us shortly. So we declined the man. And I said to Sean that for a moment I was going to actually accept his kind offer. But on the other side, my true crime brain was going, don't you dare get in that van with a stranger.
I mean, it's not like he said he had puppies in the van. I mean, he did tell me exactly where he was going to go. I don't know. There's a little part of me that would have gone in the van as well.
I'll be honest, though.
I would have gone if I was with Richard, probably. I wouldn't have gone if I was by myself.
I mean, 100%. I mean, I have to say that if I was on my own, 100%, I would not have gotten the van. I would have been like, fuck off, leave me alone.
Yeah.
I'm not getting a car with a stranger. If you come near me, I'll call the police. But
I'm not going to get in a car with a stranger. Do you mind if I just call a taxi with a stranger to come and let me get in their car?
Yeah. But because I was with Sean,
yeah,
I felt like it was a different decision.
Plus, you can run faster than Sean. So like they'd probably get that's him true. First.
Yeah, that's true.
You could just sacrifice him and bolt.
And I
sorry,
would.
Sean.
I would. Anyway, do you have a funny true crime story or tidbit for us?
Yes. Once again, I want to clarify, I don't think people getting injured is funny.
I do.
Maybe I do a little bit. Only if it's not.
Not if they're really in pain, but if it's just funny injury.
Exactly.
Then it's all game.
Yeah.
It's fair game.
So the title of the article is, I had to give up career as naked butler because of scar on bum. Murder bid victim tells court. So basically what happened was there was these two guys in a nightclub in Edinburgh and they had a scuffle. And one of them, who was called John Wotherspoon, not Witherspoon, Wotherspoon, which is
Wotherspoon.
Wotherspoon, yeah. he was...
Do you think he was posh? Or he was trying to be posh?
I don't know.
It's not Wetherspoon. It's Wetherspoon.
It's from Inverness. Maybe he's from like a fancy part of an Inverness. I don't know. So they were in a nightclub, and then there's this other guy, and they were having a fight on the dance floor, which, you know, not what you're meant to do on dance floors. They didn't read the handbook. And then they were outside and the guy tried to run him over, which, you know, big shame. But as part of his testimony, he told the High Court in Edinburgh that he worked for a company called Butlers in the Buff. And
I've heard of that.
And he was basically complaining. So he said they basically supply, in case anyone doesn't know what that is, a naked butler is like a mostly naked man who has like an apron, or what we would call a penny, over the necessary bits at the front, and usually a bare bum. And I've never had one, but I presume they just...
Bow tie?
Maybe, yeah, bow tie. Oh, the cuffs. Do they not sometimes have the silly cuffs as
yeah,
well?
The that, cuffs.
That have no, like, what are they for? Anyway. And then they just, like...
Make it cold
badly,
wrists.
Yeah, badly make drinks and kind of are leered
flounce
at by women. Yeah, I think they're just a bit of fluff, and they just kind of prance about, and it's not something I would... I mean... I highly doubt they can make a good cup of tea, and I very much doubt they do any actual butlering.
I would be annoyed at that. I mean, I'd be like, well, you can't just be a man in
cheap.
The buff. If you're a buff butler or a butler in the buff, I expect you to do both. Be in the buff and be a good butler.
I want like, butler, what wine should
I want
have
quality
my main
service.
Course? Yeah, what wine should I have in my main
so
course?
So you want a buff sommelier?
Maybe. I think actually maybe just a sommelier. Like, I'm not really bothered about the buff part. Like, actually just a butler, or, you know, anyone to help me with my life.
Just give me a butler, that'll do.
Just any kind of staff would be lovely. So you can wear
bring
clothes.
Me food and wine and immediately.
Yeah, you can wear clothes, it's fine. I'm not really that bothered.
Pour wine in my face.
Exactly. So his part of his testimony in court was... I had a job on Fridays and Saturdays. I just wore an apron and a bow tie, the egoist clarified. Now I have a scar on my bottom and I can't do it anymore. And then the jury were shown a picture of the scar on his bum.
I feel like that was probably a necessary piece of evidence.
Maybe. So basically...
So they could really flesh out the case.
Oh, yeah.
Crack the case wide open.
Say something about a bum deal or... Yeah. But one of the other...
Get to the bottom of the problem.
Nice. Oh, wait. So we need like a sad... Doo-doo-doo. Over that summer, he couldn't do any modelling.
What?
Yeah, I know. That was his plea for like everyone to feel really sorry for him. But I think the guy got done for like attempted murder or some nonsense.
Wow, really?
Yeah, so, yeah. But he was really...
What were the grounds for that?
I mean, he literally hit him with a car.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
He
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I forgot. I kept thinking about the... I was visualising when you said fight on the dance floor. No, I was thinking about a dance-off in my head. That's how I visualised it. And then I forgot about the car. And then it seemed much more trivial.
Yeah, that's why I clarified at the start, you know, whilst it's a wee bit funny because he survived and, you know, the only thing that was damaged was his butt cheek and his ego, it is actually an assault. So
he did get run over.
Also, they wanted to point out that his jumper was ripped as well. I don't know why they felt that that was really important. He did need 10 stitches above his left eye, and he had a broken nose and a cheekbone, but I don't know if he thought that those things made him more like rugged and attractive, because the only thing he complained about was having a scar on his bum, which
I was gonna say those are worse than having a sore bum.
Maybe he knows they're not looking at his face. He's like,
dear.
He's like, with cheeks like these, who cares about the stitches on my face? No one's looking at those. Yeah. So
eyes on the prize.
I know. I mean, Edinburgh. I didn't know you had it in you. Crazy stuff. Imagine being that. Imagine waking up and you're in hospital and you've got all these things wrong with you, and you're like patting yourself down and you're like, My bum.
Yeah.
My moneymaker. It's gone.
I wonder what actually happened there, though, like what the injury was.
It was a scrape and a cut, apparently. Mm. So he's got a scar there. Maybe it's like road rash. I don't know.
You can cover it up with makeup.
Are you volunteering?
I think he's exaggerating a little bit that he couldn't do any modelling. I think you could probably touch that up.
Yeah, he was apparently planning on suing him for like loss of earnings from not being able to model. So I think that was all what that was about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seems a little bit
far-fetched. And also, I would argue, most people aren't that shallow. I mean, if you turn up and you're a butler in the buff and you've got a wee scratch on your bum, I don't think they're going to turn you away. Are they? Yeah. Are they really going to turn you away? Really?
Exactly. Yeah.
We believe in you. Body acceptance, body positivity, yeah. Love yourself, bum scars and all.
So what happened to the guy? Did he got done for attempted murder? Did he get convicted or?
I don't think much came of it, to be fair. Right.
It all sounds a bit flimsy, to be honest.
Like his outfit. But yes.
Like his loincloth.
like his little, God. I mean, he brings the apron. He doesn't like go in your kitchen and.
I wouldn't want them to use my own. Yeah. Mine has Star Baker on it. There's no way of using that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see that. I don't see that working out.
No, me neither.
It's also too big. I mean, really, for what they're intending. I presume you don't have one of those little ridiculous. I hate those. I think they're utterly pointless.
You know, just round the waist.
Just round the waist. Yeah. I am the messiest baker. I mean, I'm the messiest at most things, but I am the
even a normal
baker.
Penny. I mean, I really feel like I need sleeves as well.
I need one of those slankets.
Yeah.
Or like a hazmat. Maybe.
Yeah.
That would be useful.
A CSI suit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just the gloves, like.
Crime scene.
I love it when they do that. You know, when they put the medical gloves on and they snap them.
Yeah.
I don't know why they do that.
Yeah, and it's never realistic, though, because if you do that in real life, they just stretch. They don't actually, like, snap or ping.
Yeah, it's not like they tighten them properly. Yeah, they don't really, do they? No.
No, they don't.
And it could increase the chance of them getting holes in. So why would you do that?
Yeah, exactly. It's just impractical. And I'm gonna stick.
So yeah, don't if you order a butler in the buff anytime soon and he turns up with a wee scar on his bum, just be nice to him. And
say hello from us.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening. If you've enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and or review on your podcast platform of choice. If you'd like to get in contact with us, you can email us. It's info@murdershespoke.net. And we are also on social media. So you can find us on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Just look for Murder She Spoke podcast. We will see you in a week. Bye.